Well, I think it just brings back to the point where, you know, there things can happen to us. There can be life circumstances, you know, parents, like there are many young children who come from single parent homes. Their parents are divorced or they spend half the time with their grandparents. Some are happy and some are not. And, you know, a lot of it has got to do with how they choose to respond to the different circumstances in their lives.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
We are what we think about. It's an old idea, but it's something that most of us are not educated about. If we want to have a happy life in retirement, then our attitude has everything to do with the success of that plan. Being happy, being positive, where does it come from? Well, folks, it comes from ourselves. A lot of us think that we need to go outside of ourselves to find happiness. But if we aren't happy with ourselves, then no matter how much we engage in other activities, will you be truly happy? Today, my special guest is Cheyenne Yeo, and this will be a two-part series. Cheyenne is an educator, and she's from Singapore, and she has an interesting background. She has a Master of Applied Positive Psychology and is an author.
Cheyenne has appeared on the documentary Chasing Happiness and is the founder of Positive Education and also an author, Road to Success. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Anne. Thanks for having me.
You've accomplished a lot in your short life.
Thank you.
Where do we start? Road to Success. That's a really interesting title for a book. Mm-hmm. What led to this book?
Yeah, it's a collaborative book that's co-authored with Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul fame. And I went through his coaching program and there was an opportunity that came up that allowed students and his coaches to contribute a chapter on anything that's contributing to success. So yeah, I thought it was a great opportunity to jump at, a chance to get started writing on a topic that I'm really passionate about.
Right. It's an unusual master to have, I believe, applied positive psychology. Is that something that's more relatively new in the education sphere?
Yes, I think, I'm the sixth batch of graduates and now they have more than 10, 12, 13. So at the time, it was really new. And particularly in Singapore, in the education sector, people had heard of some of the concepts, but not necessarily the whole field of positive psychology. They knew about motivation. They knew that children should be happy in school, but I guess they didn't know that there was a science to it and they didn't know that there was an umbrella called positive psychology.
Right. As we age, we have different problems to when we're younger. As we are getting towards older years, we have more time on our hands, but we also come, some of us are coming to the end of our working lives, and It is possible that some of us get a bit lost, I suppose, in that we don't have that purpose, especially in the more developed countries where we've been used to going to work. Do you see the correlation between that type of scenario and with the younger people that you work with educators and children?
Well, I think with educators and children, they have their whole life ahead of them, right? Especially those who are new to the service. And generally, they're very excited. about what's coming ahead of them. You know, occasionally you have some educators who are, maybe they have certain expectations about what teaching should be like, but it doesn't turn out exactly the way they expect it to, as with a lot of things in life. And they also lose a sense of purpose. And I guess that may be similar to the kind of purpose that feels lost when you're coming towards the end of your career, because you're asking questions such as, well, so what's going to happen after this? Is that all there is? Right? So I guess the kind of questions that people would be asking are very similar when purpose is lost.
Right. And you've founded a positive education business. So this idea that we are what we think about,
mm-hmm.
it's not an old idea, but it's something that most of us aren't educated about.
Mm. Yes, and I think what really struck me when I was doing my master's was that a lot of it is where we place our attention, right? Human beings have this thing called the negative bias, and many people assume that it means that we are naturally negative. But it means that our attention is more caught by negative things than positive things. So if we could only learn how to manage our attention and be more conscious and mindful about what we attend to, then what we think about, what we attend to, then becomes how we can live our life, right? So if we are attending to the things that have gone well in our life, we are more likely to feel our life is good. But if we attend to everything that doesn't go well, we complain a lot, we are miserable when it rains because we plan to go out, then we are likely to feel that our life isn't going so well, you know. It sounds very simple, but I find that it's really one of the fundamental concepts, you know, how we attend to things.
Mm. It's very interesting. The older I've gotten, the more I am aware of it. I wasn't really aware of it, I believe, when I was younger. And I assume by you, with your foundation and bringing this to the attention of educators and young children, they should end up with a marvelous life their whole life.
Well, I think it just brings back to the point where, you know, there things can happen to us. There can be life circumstances, you know, parents, like there are many young children who come from single parent homes. Their parents are divorced, or they spend half the time with their grandparents. Some are happy and some are not. And you know, a lot of it has got to do with how they choose to respond to the different circumstances in their lives. I really believe that, you know, in what I do is that we can teach children how to respond to challenges in a way that's healthy, you know, mm-hmm. instead of resorting to, for example, self-harming, which is very common, or thinking negative thoughts about themselves, like, it's all my fault that my parents have divorced. You know, when sometimes it isn't their fault at all, but it's what they believe that leads to certain behaviors and actions that they take, which can impact the rest of their life.
Yeah. I have found the older I get that I am more aware of people that seem to automatically react to the negative. And I suppose they're the people that are always like that. And I've learned to try and either change the subject or walk away. But do you find that people that do dwell on the negative are like that all the time?
Yeah, I think that some of them have gotten used to it. It's almost like it's a habit that they have, you know, picked up over the years. And as we know, habits die hard. And if they're used to always focusing on what's not going well, then it even becomes a way they start a conversation, right? For example, you could meet a friend who's negative a lot of the time, and the way they start a conversation could be, oh, you know, the coffee here isn't that great. And, you know, I don't know why you haven't contacted me in so long, you know, am I not important in your life? And it's very tempting to run away from that. But I think it also, as a friend, it also helps to just be gentle with the person and recognize where the person might be coming from, you know, and just be present. And if it gets too much, depending on how close you are, you could point it out.
Yeah, I think I've found that too. If you, some people don't realize what they're doing, And until if you're confident enough to tell them, they may not really be aware of it.
Yeah, and then we don't have to do it in a way that puts them down or is hurtful, right? We can just say, hey, you know what I've noticed, you know, in our conversation for the last 15, 20 minutes. Now, I'm not sure if I've got it right, but is everything all right with you? You know, you come from an angle where you care for them instead of assuming that they're just like that. Yeah. And generally that sits very well.
Right. I see that you have spoken about in the past that you can use positivity in conjunction with visualization and get results in many different areas of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, visualization, you know, when your eyes are closed, is one of the unique human faculties, right? Being able to imagine a scenario that's very different from the reality that you're living. And I found it to be really powerful. And if you understand a little bit of the brain science, you find that it helps when you visualize something and it makes you feel a certain way. And when the emotions kick in together with the cognitive function of the brain, it actually helps to create new pathways in the brain. You know, so it's almost like visualization. You are there in that new reality. You feel it. You experience it in your body physically as well. It's almost like you are in a new place. And that somehow tells the brain that you are there, you know. And I found it to be really helpful, especially when I'm trying to achieve a goal that I have that I've not yet achieved. For example, you know, starting yoga, I tried to imagine myself as a very fit person. And when I imagined that, the emotions of feeling excited about my body, feeling thankful that I have a strong body, all the emotions came along with it. And after the visualization, when I came back to my reality, I felt hopeful. I felt motivated, and that spurred me into taking action, you know, of rolling out my yoga mat and getting started, you know. And I think without the visualization, I would have been face to face with my old beliefs, which is, nah, yoga's boring. Nah, I can't do this. Nah, after two kids, I'm entitled to have a body like this, you know. Yeah, so in that sense, I think visualization has been very powerful for me.
It sounds like it's a tool that can be used for nearly anything.
Yes, and I think the important part of the visualization is taking action towards whatever it is you've visualized, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, it could just be like watching a TV show. You're happy at the moment, but because there's no follow-through and sustainability, then it's very hard to achieve whatever you've visualized. So I think it's a combination, you know.
Mm-hmm. I find it really interesting and fascinating. So you talk to a lot of people yourself. Have you had some interesting conversations you'd like to share with about anyone that's achieved something special or overcome some adversity?
Yeah, well, I recently had the opportunity to meet a very interesting gentleman who survived a very horrific experience in the Amazon jungle when he was 21. He's now 58. And he came to give us a speech on how that journey was for him and the lessons that he had learned. And I think, you know, for someone to survive 21 days in the Amazon jungle without food or water, it's a remarkable experience. So he shared a lot about how he survived it. And one of the most interesting lessons that came from that was, you know, you can be thrown in any kind of circumstance that you did not choose. But in that moment, do you berate the fact that you're there and wallow in your own self-pity? Or do you take action and respond to the circumstance and say, you know, there's something that I can do, even if it's just one step? And I found that really hopeful because we often dwell on what we cannot do. But in his circumstance, there was no choice. He had to survive, you know. And so he just took one step. He was like, you know, it's just like putting one foot in front of the other and just take one step and see where that leads you to, you know. And he described his second last day before he was rescued, how he had given up hope lying on the jungle floor. But he remembered a jungle guide who told him, don't lie on the jungle floor. No rescue team can see you. So even though his legs couldn't move, he crawled his way out to the riverbank and just lay there, and he thought he was going to die. But because he had taken that last step to go to the riverbank, he was found by the boat, you know, the rescue team. So, yeah, I mean, I think from meeting him and seeing him actually talk about it, knowing that he had lived through it, gives me hope, you know. When I'm down, I just say, hey, just take the next step. Instead of thinking I've got to leap and jump and fly, you know, towards whatever that it is that I want to achieve.
Mm. Do you think that it's an amazing story? And thanks for sharing that, because we never know what is going to come across our path, but it's the way that we react to any situation determines the next step, I suppose. We can give up, or we can say, well, this isn't what I planned, but what can I do?
Yes, that's right. Plan B, in other words, you know.
Yeah. Yes, I've come across a lot of people that their first reaction is complaining and why me, and starting feel sorry for themselves instead of, this isn't planned. So what do you suggest people can do when they're confronted with something that wasn't planned and it's something they weren't prepared for?
Well, I think it's only human to ask why me, and it's only human to feel sad or despair, whatever the situation might be. And I would say the first thing is to just acknowledge that you are in that situation and, you know, face whatever feelings that come up and allow them to be there, because that's part of our human experience. And when you've come to that acknowledgement that, hey, you know, things aren't really going well, I'm feeling really lousy, then we can say, okay, so I've cried all I want to cry, I've vented all I want to vent. Now the question is, if I had a choice, would I want to stay here? Or would I want to do just something to make myself feel that much better, or just move forward, you know? But I think many people run away, or they deny, or they withdraw. And if you deny, then, you know, the pain and hurt that's there is going to come up later in some other circumstance. If you withdraw, it means that you aren't taking any action. And if you don't take any action, then the situation is not likely going to change. Or you probably have to wait a long time for some change to happen. But if you acknowledge it, at least you're face-to-face with that emotion, you're face-to-face with the circumstance, then you have a stock check. You can take, you know, reality check and say, so this is it. Now, what do I do next? You know? Mm. Yeah.
I think it's very wise advice. And I suppose the older we get too, the more chances that we're going to come into bereavement as well when we lose someone close to ourselves. And I have come across people that they seem to get really stuck when this happens. They just can't seem to move on. And it's just such a shame, because they seem as though they lose themselves and they just can't move anywhere.
Yes, I often find this phenomenon that you've described as being stuck, as fighting. Sometimes we fight internally because we don't want to accept or believe that it's true. And that fighting can go on for a while, you know. And it's recognizing that at some point you are fighting against yourself, you know. Mm. And the question is, if you continue to fight, where is that going to bring you? Sometimes it's cathartic. It's good to fight, because we are prone to fight or flight, right, when we are in a bad situation. At some point, the fighting becomes repetitive and unnecessary, you know? And I think it's hard for people to discern when that drop off is, when that line is, and they would start to believe that it's their right to do so, to continue to do so, without recognizing that some part of that fight is detrimental, because it's like pushing against a rock that won't move, right? People will say, but if I give up, then, you know, if I don't try to move the rock, then I'm pretty much giving up on myself. But maybe we can look at it as, well, what if we don't try to push the rock, but what if we try to get around the rock? What if we try to scale the rock? Because maybe that rock is not meant to be moved at this point in time. And maybe there's something else that we can do.
That's really interesting what you said. people, I think with bereavement, they can, even though there's an extended family around them, especially if they've lost their life partner, can get just completely overcome, and sometimes they don't seem to be able to keep living their life because they're stuck. Yeah. They're stuck in the past, I suppose. But there is help, I suppose, for anyone if they can't get out of it themselves. That there is help available.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, you know, in a lot of the research, one of the most contributing factors to life satisfaction is relationships. And I think you probably feel that yourself. And when bereavement hits or grief hits, that's probably the single most important factor for recovery, which is the amount of support that you have. I think that there are some challenges there, obviously. People surrounding them may not know how to extend help. And they themselves may not know how to ask for help. You know, so it's I guess some part of that needs to be overcome with time.
Well, thank you. It's been very encouraging and interesting, and I'm going to employ some of what you spoke into my daily life. If people wanted to find out more about you or make contact with you, where would they go? Mm-hmm.
They could go to my website, www.positiveedu.com, or they can email me at shaen@positiveedu.com.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.